Let us pray. O God, you have given us your holy word that we may learn your truth and know your will. Give light to our understanding, we pray you, that we easily understand and know what you want us to be and to do, and fill us with grace and power to follow you always. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's the theme that runs through Ephesians chapter 1. Now, the first two verses are an adequate introduction to the whole letter to the Ephesians. They tell us about the author who is writing. They tell us about the readers to whom the letter is written, and to some extent, the message of the epistles. And the author is Paul, an apostle of Christ, who has been sent out by Jesus Christ to teach in Christ's name with full power and authority. The readers are variously described in verse 1 as the saints or the believers. That is, all God's people that are set aside to belong to God. I'm sure you would know that the expression, the saints, was applied to Israel in the Old Testament, but it is extended to the community of Jesus in the New Testament. So all of us are saints, the holy people of God, and we are believers in the household of faith who have come by grace to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the author and the readers. Now, what's the message of Ephesians 1? It is the gospel. And the gospel is called in this letter the gospel of peace. Christ is peace. He has made peace. He has preached peace. But how has this peace been made? It's been made by God's grace, his free and unmerited favor towards us. Now notice, dear brothers and sisters, that the link between the author, the readers, and the message is Jesus Christ. The author was the apostle of Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, the readers were in Christ Jesus, and therefore God's believing people, the saints. And the message of God through grace comes from God the Father and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus dominated the mind of Paul and filled the vision of Paul to such an extent that he felt obliged to bring Christ virtually into every single sentence that he wrote, because all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, with that introduction, that lengthy introduction from verses 1 and 2, we come to the main paragraphs, verses 3 to 14. And it begins with a doxology, a period of praise. It is the blessing of God, verse 3, for blessing us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Brothers and sisters, did you know that a Christian life is a blessing indeed? And did you know that if you are not a Christian, you are missing an enormous blessing? And do you all realize that if we are Christians, that we have all inherited a blessing, not material blessings like most of the blessings in the Old Testament, but spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Not really on earth, but heavenly, that is the heavenly realm. Of course, I understand that we need to grow into maturity in Christ. We've got to enter more fully into our inheritance in Jesus Christ. But if we are in Christ, then all spiritual blessings belong to us by right in Christ. And the question is, what are they? Within the rest of the passage, Paul unfolds some of them, and he refers to the past, the present, and the future. And the past blessing is election, verse 4. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And the present blessing is adoption, verse 5. He destined us to be his sons and daughters. He has adopted us into his family and made us his sons and daughters so that we enjoy forgiveness and the favor of God as his children. And the future blessing, verse 10, is the unification of all things under the headship of Jesus Christ. Let us look at those three blessings a bit more. Now, concerning the blessing of election, which is in the past, the Apostle Paul reaches back in his mind to before the foundation of the world, before the creation and before time began, when nothing except God himself existed. And in that pre-creation, God made a decision concerning us and Christ. He chose us in Christ together in his mind, and he determined to make us his own people through the redeeming work of Christ. His choice was a free gift, a free act of unmerited favor. He chose us in order that we might become holy and blameless, which indicates that the people whom he chose to be in Christ were blameworthy and unholy when he chose them, deserving not adoption into his family, but judgment. Yet, in sheer grace, he chose us in Christ Jesus. And concerning the blessing of adoption, which is in the present, this seems to be a consequence of the election of God. Verse 5, he destined us to be his sons. He chose us before the foundation of the world in order that in time and history we might become his sons and daughters. And this sonship of God brings with it, dear friends, immense privileges and exacting responsibilities. Those who are the sons and daughters of God and who have been redeemed through his blood for the forgiveness of sin have the privilege of complete access to our Father in heaven. We do not shrink from him in shame. Why? Because we have been delivered from the guilt of our sin and the judgment of God and the price paid by the precious blood of Christ on the cross. Friends, what a privilege that we enjoy. As the Christian hymnologist sang, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who, like me, his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting one. Redemption, forgiveness, and adoption, all belong together. Beloved in the Lord, it is a great privilege to be a Christian, because all those spiritual blessings that we have inherited, they come from Christ, but it brings responsibilities too. We don't just sit back, basking in the warm sunshine of the smile of our Heavenly Father. For God never spoils His children. He disciplines us for our good. And the purpose of our election is that we might become holy and blameless. So our adoption as God's sons and daughters brings an immense gain and a necessary loss. Gain is access to Christ, and the loss is our blemishes. You are willing to lose your blemishes. It is part of being the children of God with all its privileges and responsibilities. And we now come finally to the blessing of unification, which is in the future. Not only did God choose us before the foundation of the world, not only has He adopted us as His sons and daughters with all its attendant privileges and responsibilities, but God has made known to us His plan for the future in the fullness of time. And that plan, revealed at verse 9 and 10 of our text, is to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, and to unite these things under Jesus Christ. The Greek verb that is used means to bring everything under the headship of Christ. For one day, the whole world is going to acknowledge the headship of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow to Him, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friends, there is this harmony in the universe, but one day, in the fullness of time, discord will cease, and the unity for which we long will come to pass under the headship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you may ask what will be included in this unity and under the headship of Christ. Well, certainly the living and the dead in heaven and on earth, the church in heaven and the church on earth, separated at the moment, is going to be united, probably angels as well. For John, in his revelation, tells us that the redeemed in heaven and on earth will be worshiping God, gathered round His throne together with angels and archangels. But it seems to refer also to that cosmic renewal, that regeneration of the universe, that liberation of the groaning creation of which the Apostle Paul writes. So how do we finish? Now, brethren, our text is full of solid doctrine. The doctrine of election, adoption, redemption, and final reunification. But Paul never regarded doctrine as an end in itself. Usually, doctrine leads to duty, but here, doctrine leads to doxology, to praise. That is, the praise and worship of God. So this passage should be a warm-hearted, loud shout of praise for all God's children. Blessed be God, our Father, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing of the Holy Spirit. We bless Him because He has first blessed us in Christ Jesus. And our whole life is supposed to be one of worship. We fall on our faces before this gracious God in worship as we begin a new year. And we go out to our places to work this week to express our worship in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We give you thanks, dear Father, for your word to us this morning. And we thank you for assuring us again that we have inherited those blessings which are in store for us and which are in Christ Jesus. Help us, O Father, to enter into these blessings fully, even as we walk the path of life in this new year. We confess for times, O Father, when we have not acknowledged your blessings in our lives, and pray that you continue to provide leadership in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen.